possibilities of crossing the national border by bus. However, the size of the country means that bus travel takes very long. It's similar to South Africa, to be honest. They also have very few passenger rail services operating in Brazil, but they do have quite a few metro systems in 8 of their largest cities. The urban mobility program implemented by the federal government of Brazil has seen an improvement and expansion of urban public transport services, and the urban mobility website has more information if members wish to go there. Most large cities in Brazil are equipped with extensive road networks, with buses being the main and most accessible form of public transport for Brazilians, and where available, taking the subway is also available. Taxis are more expensive, but considered safer to use if you are traveling at night. Our initial reason why we were doing the focus on Brazil was regarding the contract with Gibella and Prosa for the building and the delivery of the locomotives through the Alstom factory. But we have had an indication by Prosa in previous presentations that by December last year they had already received 14 of the 20 trains that were heading to South Africa. And due to the delay in the program, by the time that we go, the last train set would have already been received by South Africa. So members, I don't know if we can still make the argument out to visit the specific LAPA manufacturing plant, because technically at that point in time, none of our main focus products are coming from there at that point in time. We might still be getting parts. I don't know if Prasa might reconsider a replacement order if something was faulty or so on, because the last batch of the trains all have to go through the testing phase. But there's just some history on the contracts that they've concluded with Gibella and Alstom. Now, looking at the general modes, the city buses, buses are the common form of transport among Brazil's lower-income residents, similar to South Africa, where they have to commute long distance from outer city limits to reach the richer areas where they work. The bus fare is generally very cheap by European and US standards, but slightly expensive in relation to the low incomes received by most bus commuters. A single ticket costs around R16.66, but may vary according to which city you are in and how long your journey is. Payment of fares can be made in cash or by using travel cards, such as the Billet Único in Sao Paulo, which includes the use of nearly all public transport facilities. But to obtain one, you must be a resident of the country and have a CPF number. Students do get discounts with the appropriate student card. Some city buses can get extremely crowded during rush hour, like our Prosa trains, and especially in Sao Paulo and Rio. But for more detailed information, I've listed a few links there for the various cities, and those are links to the public transport, the agencies, similar to what MEC Vardy has requested the committee consider for the NLTA. This is also an option to look at how the transport authorities work in Brazil, so that members can keep that in mind for the NLTA work going forward. Regarding the subways, subway systems can be found in 8 Brazilian cities, including Sao Paulo, Rio, and Belo Horizonte. Although covering a very limited area of each city when you compare them to most European subway systems, the metros are typically cleaner than the buses, and the best thing about them is you don't become a victim of heavy traffic. Fares also cost around R16, and travel cards commonly include the metro travel. Brazil's metros are recognized as safe, reliable, and cost-effective. Nevertheless, you should always keep your valuables out of sight. Then on taxis, getting around via taxi can save you a lot of time and trouble, especially if you're going out in the evenings. Depending on the city you are in, taxis look differently. In Sao Paulo, they are white. In Rio, they are yellow. And Curitiba, they are orange. There has in the past been a similar suggestion for the meter taxi services, so that the regulating entities consider maybe making the taxis for a certain association a certain color. We have similar aspects in other African countries, but then obviously our taxi friends will want to know who is going to be paying for their color coding. One can hail a cab on the street, but it might be risky because even as we've seen with some of the Uber services, you can't always trust that it is a licensed vendor that will be picking you up if you just hail a cab. So it's always safer on their system also just to do a call in. They also have a mobile app, which is 99 Taxis, which is similar to Uber and Taxify. Sao Paulo specific, they have over 20 million inhabitants. The motorways of the city are extremely congested. They have extreme crowding on public transport during rush hours and experience scenes of pushing and rushing to get on board. Despite this, the public transport remains the best option to get around the city due to the chaotic traffic, and owning a motor vehicle is very expensive. In some instances, travel times exceed 3 hours to and from work. Commuters on bus services do complain of irregular service and that there are no bus schedules, quite similar to our metro bus systems, and some alternative transport modes are possible, such as renting bicycles. Then for the transport authorities, they have a national and local transport authority and operators, and the regulatory authority is responsible for highways, railways, passenger and cargo transport, and international transport. The public transport modes used is the SPT Trans bus system. It includes a trolley bus system, which we used to have far back in the day in Durban as well, including the Expresso Tiradentes BRT system, subways, railways, airports, taxi services, heli-taxi services, and contactless smart card use. Payment methods for Sao Paulo, the proposal is that members engage a bit more on the payment card system that they use, which is similar to the Oyster card in the UK, though the UK has moved recently to a general expansion of allowing you to pay with any tap-and-go enabled card system that uses near-field communication or has a smart tap-and-go system on the card. So you can essentially in the UK use your credit card. We can engage with Sao Paulo and determine whether or not they are at that stage. The concession is made for student discounts, and we've long lobbied in the past for our pensioners to also be able to get discounts on public transport, and the same for students. We can find out from them how they maybe program the payment system so that it allows for them to do this. It's worth noting further that the fare allocation for bus services and subway services are similar or close equals, and it's comparable to if maybe we request PRASA and the Metro bus services or contracted bus services to have a similar card system or payment system so that we have one card for all our public transport modes. In rail, they have an overground system, the CPTM, and an underground system. The committee would be able to see how these lines and stations are designed in order to serve as a multimodal station, allowing both subway and overground trains to dock in the same park, like similar to Park Station, where you have the Gau train and the above-ground metro rail trains coming in. And the committee could also request for presentation on the planned high-speed rail from Sao Paulo to Rio, and whether or not that project has been revived after a push by China to do so. We might be lucky to have a similar system for the Mulatto corridor. We don't know. We still have to see what China comes up with there. For the airports, quite important for us, one of our entities has quite a sizable stake in the airport at Sao Paulo. Guarulhos International Airport is a domestic and international airport. We will most likely enter through this airport, so we could see how the program can slot in a presentation there. The airport is operated by a consortium comprised of Invepar and AXA, which won the concession to operate in June 2012. The concession contract is for a period of 20 years and is valued at $16.2 billion, which will be paid in 20 annual installments. The consortium has a 51% share in the airport, while the Brazilian government corporation in Freire holds the remaining 49% stake. And then the other two airports are also listed there that are in the Sao Paulo region. For heliports, I don't know if we'll have the money or the time to see the system, but if members sit in most of the hotels that are a bit higher, you will see how businessmen use helicopters to get to their meetings because transport is just too congested. So some very good entrepreneurs have gone and created the heli airport or air taxi operations that are there. And I also saw very recently, obviously, Dubai is also pushing for their airport taxis or their heli taxis or drone taxis. Regarding the motorways for Sao Paulo, they have the Rodoanel Mario Covas SP21, which is a motorway that we can possibly link to the PWV projects that are planned for Gauteng, which is a road that is built to try and move or do a ring road to take your freight trucks off of your main lines. So this is something we can look at and learn from them in terms of how they are doing it. They also have some travel restrictions implemented to maintain the quality of air in their cities. Mexico does this, Singapore does this, London does this, and Agra in India also does this to protect the Taj Mahal's structure as well. It's applied through a schedule of specific routes that may be used or allocated to be used and indicated via the last digit of the car's license plate number. Curitiba specifically, we want to go to Curitiba to see the birthplace of the BRT. Basically, all of South Africa's BRT systems are based on the Curitiba system or the model, and the arguments and motivation for bringing in BRT was focused on the same arguments that were used in Curitiba. It was the first bus rapid transit system in Brazil, and it was built in 1974. The goal of the system was to provide a high-quality rail transit service to customers and at a comparable cost to that of a bus transit service. So this includes your specific road construction for designated lanes, your docking centers, and then obviously the type and modes and scheduling through the system. Though the system wasn't an instant success, after the opening of the first line, it gradually worked its way into livelihoods of residents. And in 1979, they created the RIDT to better manage the system, and as new routes were also added, it began to show its full potential. We are hoping that our local BRTs will follow the same route. By 1993, it was already carrying 1.5 million passengers a day. According to the calculations done by the IPPUC, the institution responsible for planning the implementation of Curitiba's master plan, the bi-articulated bus system, as it is developed in Curitiba, costs $3 million per kilometer to construct, compared to $8 to $12 million for a tram system and around $50 to $100 million for a subway system. That is where our argument against light rail also came in when we brought in the BRT system. Thank you, members.
There we are. Information as was requested, I think it's work in progress. Probably within a few weeks we'll be knowing, within a week from now, we will know where we are heading. Honorable De Freitas, Honorable Mulaudzi, Honorable Tseko.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks for an excellent presentation. It's very comprehensive, and I'm starting to think those days aren't enough. I see, originally we had said France as well. I presume it's because events have overtaken us, so we're only doing Brazil. What I did want to suggest is originally we were going to go to the factories that are producing the locomotives for South Africa. I think if there's time, I mean, it's quite comprehensive already where we're going to go, to see how is it that they've developed their rail industry in-house in Brazil, and what we can learn from that. I'm referring in particular the factory that's being built in Donato near Nigel, and what we can learn from the Brazilians in growing the sector, the rail sector, but also using it as a catalyst for economic growth and job creation. I don't know if there'll be time, but it would be great if we could do that as well. Thank you.
Training which was supposed to happen. I don't know if together with the trains, those engineers or technical people are already back with that support. That was one other thing that I thought we should be able to look into so that we don't miss a single thing in terms of what the whole program was supposed to be. Honorable Mulaudzi.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to ask about that. Are we not going to see our people we sent there and also the trains? So, secondly, I will ask if the advocate can assist, maybe immediately after the approval thereof, will be arranged some few small pamphlet about the translation of Portuguese English greetings. Yes. Yeah. I was in Brazil. I was in Brazil last time. Yeah, I suffered a lot, man. When I wanted to propose a woman, they said the English no. Yeah. I wanted to be with friends, but there was, because you see, it was very tough. You must know the Portuguese is very hard. I knew only one word, obrigado, but you can't just say obrigado. So we will be appreciative if you can have a briefing introduction of greeting the people there.
Thanks, Chair. It seems as if me, yourself, and Mlaudzi are thinking alike, Chair. Except the issue of the woman as an interpreter type of thing. But, Chair, I was to ask also even if we will be getting a note from our political principals, because that's a prerequisite to be a note that will go undertake the study tour. Thanks.
Honorable Khadebe.
No, Chair. I had an engagement with some of the Brasa officials trying to check, you know, in terms of our study tour. I got an information, but of which if the advocate Nell can be able to also to, you know, get a full comprehensive report around that. That some of our trainees that were taken to Brazil, they were supposed to commit from Brazil to France, because the skills that they're supposed to also get is between these two countries with relations to infrastructure build-up. If we can just be able to double-check how far are they with the program that are happening there, that will be also assisted. But I know that they are still in Brazil, if I'm not mistaken. I think that would be very much grateful assistance. I think it's very much easy to utilize our gadgets for translation if one needs a translation. This gadget, you download a translation of Spanish to English, it gives you that thing. So it's very much easy.
Thank you very much. Honorable members may recall that initially when we started this whole project, we wanted to go to Brazil and France, but because we are junkies, in a junk status, in a junk country, it becomes very challenging as we're engaging with the House Chair, the indication of the financial issues were something that was critical. So let's take one step at a go. When we come back, we should be able to indicate that we have done this and the outstanding issues are based around this, and then we're able to deal with the outstanding trip as part of the as part of the oversight, because remember, it's coaches and locomotives that we are supposed to, as part of the modernization issues that we have to look into. But we are agreeing that we would appreciate if we can also look into the trains and railways as to how are they dealing with them in house, but also to look at the curriculum probably maybe also engage with them, that maybe they may have a university here that they can be able to partner with, which will be able to assist in terms of dealing with issues of curriculum, with the engineering or technical issues that relates to rail and rail-related matters. I've seen that when you go abroad, you come across these things, then you are able to lobby that you get a partnership with institutions of higher learning, so that at least now it becomes something that becomes, we would have really strengthened the South-South relationship and the BRICS relationship if we also think along those lines. Are there other matters that you want to raise on this? Can we agree that it's work in progress? Probably you will be updated. Even when we will be in recess, we should be informed as to how we're going to be taking the matters forward. And those that do not have the official passport, can we have the committee secretary be engaged so that they can assist those with official transport to can be able to get them? Honorable Siband?
Yes, I also request that maybe to look the secretary to also to assist to their call about the passport, maybe which are due to expire or expired, because there are some people who does have passport who are affected in that regard.
I think the process that you must follow is just to engage the committee secretary on that. Let's move on.
Dr. Chair, to be fair and honest, why should Valerie go and look for the passport that has expired or not? A person can go and look his passport whether it's expired or not. And after that, a person can go there and get a letter from Derko.
I did not recognize.
We applied for that one.
I did not recognize.
Yeah, but it's okay, Chair. If this passport has expired, then the person will be behind.
We don't have EFF here. This is not in the house.
No.
The EFF does that in the house. That when the house chair or the speaker does not recognize them, they keep on speaking. This is not the house.
Can I clarify that?
I will.
Can I clarify that one?
Yeah.
Chairperson, can I clarify it? Let me correct it. Maybe he's mistaken. I'm talking from experience. I was being a chairperson in NSOP. The fastest process, if we are having a joint a trip like this, like myself, I do have passports, not a passport for information. But in order to make it, to fast track it, if you take it through the secretary with the purpose of such a journey, they are fast tracking it. Thank you.
Okay.